Have you ever rebounded? I know I don't mean the funny little exercise trampoline, though that is fun too. What I'm talking about is, have you ever made a big change in your life, like a weight loss or dumping that bad relationship that everyone said needed to be dumped, or quit smoking, only to find that your life snapped back so fast that you rebounded either into that same thing again or into something worse? Well, welcome, UK Health listeners. Today we are going to jump into the mechanism. What causes this rebound effect? And what can you do about it? And we're going to share some big stories along the way of people that's had their lives ruined after making a really big positive change, and other people who did it a different way and found that that change created so much more amazing stuff in their life that that singular change was just paled in comparison to what was created around it. All right, let's get started. Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Hey, everybody out there in UK Health Radio Land. I am Liz Larson. Bill is off in Florida today. Florida in the United States, if you've never been there, it's beautiful and sunny this time of year. It is cold here in Oregon where I am. So everybody wish Bill well there in Florida, and he'll be back next week. We are talking about this rebound phenomenon. And it sounds funny, you know, like you're pulling a rubber band and it snaps back, but it really isn't when it happens to you. So I'll share a story, something I witnessed in my own life, which is interesting. It was that the women that I went to church with, the younger ones, they were, you know, in their mid 40s to upper 30s. And all of a sudden, you know, a weight loss trend would come. And a couple of them would get very serious about it. And they lose 20 or 30 pounds and look great. And the next thing you know, that person would be getting divorced. And in the church that I went to, that meant being out of the community. So in so many ways, it just destroyed their life. And when I was a kid, I saw this again and again and again. And it installed this little idea in my mind. Well, if you lose weight, you become a cheater. It was like one of the worst things you could do. And in my mind, it wasn't about judgment. It was about really scary. Like, you could lose everything. Now, of course, I've shared with you before, that was a very high demand religion. But, you know, when you're a mom with kids and you have family and community, and you step out of that, that becomes very devastating. So that was an interesting thing that I saw. Around the topic of weight loss, right now, we have all the GLP-1 drugs that people are using, and they're losing weight very, very quickly and looking great, sometimes for the first time in their life, which would seem like a very, very happy thing. But what we're seeing is that many of those people are picking up a smoking habit or picking up another addiction like alcohol or drugs. Now, why would that be? Why would it be that someone would be in a state and something they've always dreamed of, having their teenage body back, only to fall into the trap of some other addiction? Well, as it turns out, this has everything to do with the way our nervous system is set up. You can stop a behavior, true, but it doesn't mean you've changed the setting that created that behavior in the first place. So let's set up this episode today for what we're going to be talking about, some of the topics. And maybe you will find yourself in one of these topics or somebody you know. Another big one is the relationship. You know, that bad relationship that everybody says, you need to get out of that. That's a bad relationship. You know, some of the kids now have these t-shirts that say, dump him on it. We all had that. And we've all had it where people tell us, you got to get out. So you find the courage and you get out of that relationship, only to get in the same relationship just a couple months later, or even sooner than that. Recently, one of my niece's friends did this, got out of an 8-year relationship, and then almost immediately started to make those same mistakes with the next one and next one. The profile was so similar, which sets this up. Why would we do this to ourselves? Why would we set ourselves up to get right back into something we left? It doesn't make any sense, right? Except for that it does. If you understand, again, the mechanism that creates this situation. So we're also going to be talking about quitting smoking, which is another big thing that people overcome. Quitting smoking for someone who smoked for years is really difficult. There's just no way around it. It's hard. But then a smoker often will end up gaining weight. Well, we think the reason is that, oh, they just need something to do with their hands, and that could be part of it. But there's actually a deeper reason for it that has everything to do with the way the nervous system is handling that situation and why the person started smoking in the first place. So if we want real success around these issues, we have to get in and meet it where it lives. And that's really where we're going to go in today's episode. So let's start with the weight loss. It's so interesting because the GLP-1s are kind of amazing in that they are giving people their teenage bodies back. They really are helping people achieve that goal. And so many of us have struggled with that for years and years. If you're a woman, you know what I mean. So this ability to take a shot or a pill now and have that goal come about is amazing on some levels. Now, of course, it is a drug. It has severe side effects. But one of the big side effects that no one is talking about is this rebound effect, where underneath something else starts to happen. So with weight loss, and if you need to lose, you know, 100 pounds or more, very often there are some cravings in there. There are some things that you're doing on a daily basis that are unconscious, that your body drives you to do. For some people, it's eating crunchy things. For some people, it's sweet things. For some people, it's that ice cream at the end of the day. It has to do with relaxing, unwinding at the end of the day. For other people, it's nibbling all day long to quell anxiety, right? For other people, there is comfort food. They're eating to a point where their physical sensation in their body, that you feel satisfied and full in that core of the body, is attractive to the person because they never feel full. They never feel satisfied. And I mean emotionally. So the body will replace that with a physical sensation that feels like satisfaction, that feels like comfort, that in many ways feels like a big hug. So you get where I'm going with this? The system will get it what it needs. It'll get its needs met through food for many people, and it's many different needs. It's never just one thing. And that is why people are leaning on the GLP-1s, because there's so many reasons that the body signals you to crave a certain thing. And it's not just a certain thing, it's the pattern of that thing. Time of day, you know, maybe after work, maybe during work, maybe before work. Some people eat in a way that's hidden. There used to be a show that showed people eating in their cars, you know, the weight loss shows that show people hiding food and eating in their cars, which relates back to having to hide some other aspect of themselves. So when you use a GLP-1 or have like bariatric surgery, it will prevent you from doing those things. It'll prevent you from eating. But then the nervous system still needs that comfort or safety or a down regulation of the nervous system. And now you're not doing it with food. The medicine makes that impossible. Or the medical surgeries, the medical interventions make that impossible. So the nervous system is going to look for another way to do that, another way to nibble throughout the day. Otherwise, anxiety runs rampant. Another way to get that hug feeling, that satiated feeling fulfilled. It's going to find a way around the thing that you stopped, which would be eating in this case, to get those needs met. And here we go. This is the rebound effect. So in many, many cases, what we see is alcohol will come up under. So a person who is trying to calm their nervous system, trying to get out of reality a little bit with food. So that may seem strange, but for some people, there's such a feeling of comfort and familiarity and peace when they're eating their favorite foods, that when they don't have it, the nervous system will look for another way to downregulate. So alcohol is one of those ways to downregulate, and the nervous system will rebound and use alcohol. Because when you've had a gastric bypass surgery or even the GLP-1s, it does allow you to drink. You're not hungry, but it doesn't prevent liquids. And with some of those interventions, you actually absorb alcohol much, much faster. And so that drunk feeling happens faster. So now the body's getting what it needs. It gets down regulated, right? But drinking alcohol is often not great for the person who has replaced overeating with alcohol. This can really ruin lives. I've seen it up close and personal. I have a friend who had gastric bypass and then gained her weight back and then used GLP-1s. And after her body has lost a significant amount of weight, the alcohol issue comes up, which is another thing to have to overcome. You know, another big hurdle in life to have to quit the alcohol. Now, the reason is that, like I said, the nervous system is going to find the way to comfort itself in one way or another. When a person is losing weight, they need to reset their nervous system around the weight. There's a lot of reasons that a body starts to freak out a bit when it loses weight. One is the pattern and the habit and whatever is driving their particular food pattern. The other was is that a lot of times bodies hold on to weight for safety or security. And so the body now recognizes, whoa, we are actively dying. We're losing our protective layer. We are, you know, what happens? When do you lose weight naturally? Well, a lot of times when you're sick or when you're stressed or when you're dying. So the system is just trying to protect, and it doesn't realize that what you're doing is positive and will create great health gains. It really doesn't. All it knows is that things are out of balance. Things are changing. And we better get back to homeostasis so it'll find a way to do exactly that. So when the body starts to lose weight, what needs to happen is the nervous system needs to be brought back in balance. And of course, we use the cognitive movement method, which harmonizes the brain and all of its parts, and the body and all of its parts, and the emotion and all of its parts around the change that is happening. And then it addresses, why is the body doing the thing it's doing in the first place? What creates the need for the change in the first place? What's your unique issue? This is why when people go to the gym or go to a dieting organization, they don't often have long-term success because it's one size fits all. And the person's reasons, their nervous system's reasons, are not addressed. So either the person will gain the weight back very, very quickly, or they will have one of these other things that take over. Another friend of mine, I think over the time that I knew her, she had probably lost over 500 pounds, but over and over again, many different times, she would lose 100, 130 pounds at a time. And I would know when she was at that mark, that 100 to 130 pound mark, because on that day, she would call and say, I reached my goal, let's go celebrate with a cheeseburger. And on that day, she would eat the burger with the most calories and the most fries. And she would be so happy. And I knew that that would be the signal that the weight would start to pile on very, very, very quickly. Her body just could not be comfortable at that lower weight. And then the cycle would happen all over again. And for her, the addiction actually was the diet programs. Now, when she went on a diet, she had six kids. And when she would go on a diet, all the kids would chip in and help her buy all the things that she needed for the diet. You know, there were always scales or prepackaged foods or who knows, any number of gizmos and gadgets that you would need for the most recent fad diet. She would get all of this attention from her kids. Then the other thing is she would get to shop. She was on a very limited income and she would start to shop, to buy the things that she needed, which made her feel amazing. She loved doing that. She would also get a lot of attention from friends, you know, on her journey. So for her, what the nervous system wanted was the attention from her kids. She wanted that feeling of being able to shop, the freedom of shopping. She wanted the support from friends and family, or maybe even the program that she was on. So her body really craved the dieting process. So in the losing weight, she would rebound when all of that ended. When she got to her goal, there was no more food to buy, you know, processed foods, the packaged things. There were no more scales to buy. Everybody was done supporting her because she'd already created the change. So for her, there wasn't really a benefit to being at the lower weight. The benefit happened during. Interesting, right? So the other thing that can happen is the drugs, starting to utilize other drugs once the weight loss is down or while losing the weight, because stimulants act like, well, a stimulant, and they'll make the body feel up and high and interested. And then when the weight is off and you don't need that anymore, the body will still crave that stimulation. And so we see things like cocaine or even use of Adderall those kind of things start to come up underneath. All right, let's take our first break. And when we come back, let's dig into the relationship rebound.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We are talking about rebounding. Rebounding and ending up somewhere that you never intended to, that's way worse than the first thing that you got rid of, you know, the thing that you wanted to eliminate from your life for good reason, and then you rebounded into something much worse. So let's talk about the relationship rebound. So this one is so interesting. And I alluded to my niece's friend who got out of an 8-year relationship, and my niece had just been harping at her about it. It was no good for her. It was hurting her in so many ways. And so finally, she let that relationship go. And then almost immediately, she was on dating apps and she met someone. I mean, it was like within a couple of weeks. The next thing you know, she went out with that person and they were doing what's called love bombing, you know, just, oh, you're so amazing. You're this, you're that, you're the other thing. And after the second date, the person said he loved her and wanted her to move in with him. And weirdly, she was considering it. Now, this is a smart girl. She's not dumb. Her logical mind didn't engage. It wasn't like, this doesn't make sense. And also, there's some real red flags here, you know, from that other relationship. Well, my niece, who does Cogno Movement, caught it. She could see the rebound effect. She could see that snapback where her system was not comfortable being out of that toxic relationship. Her nervous system wasn't prepared to just be on her own, to be free of that, to not have the chaos in your life. So this is important because in relationships that are not so great, there can often be a lot of chaos, which is entertaining. It's something for the nervous system to do. It's a problem to overcome. In many cases in relationships, the energy in that relationship comes from fighting. So after that first really great high of meeting each other, and it's very, very, very exciting, and you're super focused and almost consumed with that person, when there isn't really anything to sustain it, what happens in some couples is the fighting starts. Now, fighting mimics that excitement. It gets the blood pumping. It gets the nervous system's need for excitement answered. And then there's often a makeup period, right, where the explosion has happened and now we're reconnecting again, often for a very short time. And then the cycle happens all over again, right? So the nervous system will replace that exciting, loving feeling with chaos often. So when you finally get out of that relationship, you know, you come up for water and you realize this is not working and you get out, the need for the chaos is still there. The desire for the excitement is still there. And often for many people, this will go back to family. If your family of origin fought or screamed and yelled or was abusive, that will feel familiar to you. And it will feel like love. And because it's so familiar and it feels like love the first time you experienced what you thought was love in a family setting, the nervous system will want to go back to that. I know this feeling and it didn't kill me, so I'm going to be drawn back into it. So many women rebound back to the same relationship. In fact, they say abused women often leave and return to a relationship on average about 14 times. 14 times. Think about that. Rebounding back to the same relationship. Or they'll rebound into one that is identical. So in my lifetime, I've known multiple women who were in abusive heterosexual relationships. And when they left, they decided to go into same-sex relationships, in a relationship with a woman, thinking that there wouldn't be abuse, that it would be much more easy to relate to that human and that they would be safer, only to find the same-sex person, a woman in this case, who's just as abusive as the last man they were with. See, it's not about who it is. It's about the feeling that comes with that relationship that feels so familiar, even if it really, really hurts. So when leaving a relationship, there is this cleanup that needs to happen with the nervous system. What drew you there in the first place? What is it that the system is craving, essentially, that would allow your logical mind to be overridden and get into or stay into what's a really bad relationship? Well, it turns out that it's these things that are familiar in our life. We'll often be attracted to someone who's very much like our parent. Well, psychology has been fighting with this for years. You know, there's plays written about it. Why we're attracted to someone that reminds us of one of our parents is that to our nervous system, that is safety, even if it isn't. It's the first time we experienced something that felt like love, closeness. And these are also the people that met our needs, even if they didn't do a good job with it. They're familiar. The nervous system likes familiar because it didn't kill you. It didn't kill you. That's it. So it'll gravitate towards that. Even though our logical minds really, we think they should know better. And sometimes they do. And we just can't help it. It's because we need to update that nervous system. It's like your iPhone. It will start to glitch out after a while if you don't give it the updates, the upgrades. Our nervous systems are really no different. They are a learning processor and they learn what keeps you safe and alive. And they just keep going back to an old program. This is why I say that the nervous system really is the great time traveler. You've heard me say it again and again, if you listen to the show, it wants to go back to what it has already experienced to check to see how safe or unsafe that is going to be in the future. So it will throw a roadblock into your future of a bad relationship if that bad relationship feels similar to what you experienced early on in life. So to prevent it, we need to update and upgrade that nervous system. We need to let all of the parts of the brain see the truth about the system. And what I mean by that is the brain is just reacting to the sensation in the body, the feeling. Have you ever wondered why you're attracted to the person you're attracted to? I know I have. I've shared this with you guys before. I had a strict do not date redheads policy. And who did I marry? A big giant redhead. We've been married for 30 years. And if you asked me what attracts you to him, I would give you a list of things that I like consciously now. But back then, I don't know. I was just strangely attracted. Well, it turns out, and I've shared this story before, that there was this funny little moment when I was about 10 years old and a movie that I watched that had Omar Sharif in it. Now, Omar Sharif is not a redhead, but Omar Sharif had this big, wide smile. And at that point in his career, he had a gap in his teeth. Well, he was the love interest in this show with Barbra Streisand. And I loved Barbra Streisand. So if she thought Omar Sharif was the shit, well, so did I. Now, did I know this consciously? No. But when we started to study this work, I realized my husband has a nice gap right in the middle of his teeth and he's talked about fixing it. And I'm like, no, 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 don't fix it. I love the gap, right? So in my case, the physical attraction, of course, there's many other amazing things about him as a human, but the physical attraction was that my nervous system attached this funny little moment back in time as a 10-year-old girl who just thought, you know, Omar Sharif and his gap, he was the most beautiful thing ever. So that was my standard. And then I realized that in middle school, I just loved this boy named Kevin, and he had a gap in his teeth, right? That's not a conscious thing. It's a feeling. So you see a gap in the feeling in the body is, ooh, yummy, right? Okay. So we need to let the all of the brain see what that feeling really is. And that's how I even discovered this thing in my past with the gap in the teeth is during a Cogna movement session around a similar feeling. And that's a fun one. I mean, and it's a positive one. There's nothing wrong with that one. But what if it's something else that isn't so positive that draws you to? What if you had a violent father and what drew you into this relationship is some subtle tendencies, some subtle violent tendencies, the precursors to those that you saw in this person that you're with? That can end up being catastrophic. So when we're leaving a relationship or wanting to leave a relationship, we need to do that update with the nervous system. We need to let the all parts of the brain see that feeling in the body and quantify it, put it where it belongs. Even though it's familiar, we can show the nervous system that, wait a minute, that's not actually safe. And in the future, that could hurt us gravely. We need to delete that programming, which is 100% possible. You just have to know how to do it. You just have to know how to access that nervous system directly and pluck that program right out. And then it helps for the brain to really see where that programming came from. Now, you don't have to know where it came from, but if you do, and oftentimes you will see that during a session, you'll see where it comes from. And it's easy to quantify it. It's easy to put it into the place where it belongs. If it came from 4 years old, you leave it at 4 years old. If it came from 20, you leave it at 20. You don't continue to carry it with you, and it will stop that rebounding effect. And what it really does create is freedom. It really does create freedom because you're bound, you're a prisoner to that cycling habit, to that cycling pattern, while that nervous system program is running. When you delete it, the system just isn't drawn that way. It just doesn't gravitate to that anymore. And now you can choose based on other preferences, like, you know, the quality of the human, their values, you know, their family, maybe. But when you are drawn because of a neurological pattern to a problem situation, a problem relationship, you can't see any of those other things. You cannot see the warning signs. Like my niece's friend, on her own, she could not see the warning signs. Her friend had to tell her, hey, you're just in a loop. Let me show you how to get out of that loop. And of course, then she didn't get into that relationship. And then you can be on the real road to healing from a bad relationship. You see, most people get out of a relationship and get right back in a short period of time. They don't take any time to just be themselves, to be who they are. And it's because that nervous system driver wants you to get back in and repeat the pattern. That's how it feels good. Even though in the end, it feels terrible. All right, let's take our next break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we're back and we're talking about rebounding, snapping back into a old habit, old pattern, or really cleaning up one pattern only to find another one emerging underneath it that sometimes is so much worse. So for this last segment, let's talk about smoking. Smoking, chewing tobacco, cigars, all things tobacco related, and talk about what happens when you quit smoking. Everybody knows the gaining weight one, right? Everybody is terrified to quit smoking because they'll gain weight. And they think the reason is that the tobacco helps you stay thin. Well, there's some evidence that there's a little bit of that, but mostly that is not it. Mostly it's the nervous system pattern that made you want to smoke in the first place. Smoking is such a weird one because so often people choke and throw up, chewing tobacco as well. The first time they smoke, they throw up, or the chewing tobacco, they throw up. So why in the world would you go back? This one is interesting because it often has to do with what was happening in that moment. So a young man recently told me that he gave his friends cigarettes. He knew where the cigarettes were in his family's house. So he gave his friends cigarettes and he knew how to smoke and he knew what to do with the lighter. And in that moment, he was very, very cool. And when you're a 12-year-old boy and you are now the cool kid in your group, that in itself is addictive, not necessarily the cigarette. And every time that cigarette is lit and brought to your lips, the feeling of being the cool kid is there. So when we were working his session, you don't know when you start out what the addiction really is. And we found it, 12 years old, passing out the cigarettes, right? Being cool. You can imagine the scene. And so for him, every time he smoked, he was the cool kid again. And he said it was interesting because he found that he only smoked socially. They didn't really smoke when he was on his own because it didn't give him the same feeling. Now, if you're truly addicted, you would smoke when you're on your own as well. In that case, he didn't, because what he wanted to be is that cool kid, even though he's much older, now in his 30s, it didn't ever occur to him that that's what was causing the feeling. And for him, after his logical mind actually saw it and the pattern was broken, the pattern was seen and broken, he really didn't have the desire to smoke, but he was still the cool kid. He still is that person that everyone likes. He's the core of his group. So when his nervous system saw that it was already getting what it wanted without the attachment to the cigarette, there was no reason for it to continue with the cigarettes. Interesting, right? So with smoking and chewing tobacco, they say there is an addictive part of the chewing tobacco and the cigarettes. And I think that there is definitely truth to that. But there's the thing of the rebound and the weight gain part that has to do with why the nervous system is needing to downregulate as well. So this is a calming pattern for some people. And the lighting up, the ritual of smoking is one of the big deals for people. Bill tells a story about people who wanted to quit smoking, but they went out in the garage together, the husband and wife, the kids were already in bed, and they would have a cigarette and rehash their day. For them, it was this closeness. There was this pause moment. And there was a togetherness feeling that they really enjoyed. And in that case, they didn't quit smoking. But someone who might have quit smoking would have replaced that with something else, like maybe eating ice cream together, right? Or maybe having a drink together. So the nervous system is going to drive you to mimic that great feeling again and again. So the other part of it is the oral fixation, putting something up to your mouth, having something to do with your hands. And so you'll find other people who rebound into weight gain and overeating as a new addiction who are nibblers. They need to do something with their hands. And so for them, you'll find that they're munching on nuts, munching on chips, chewing gum is another thing that people can do. And for them, this is about anxiety. It's about calming the anxiety. And so they are constantly using the hand meeting up with the mouth, which is a very kinesthetic feeling, a very physical feeling, to quell the anxiety. Now, this is likely going to be your chain smoker. they are all day long trying to quell that feeling of anxiety. And anxiety has a very, very specific kind of a feeling to it. It's the rattling on the inside of the body, that jangled feeling, a shortness of breath feeling, a feeling of needing to get up and run, but maybe not having the energy to get up and run. And so that ritual of lighting the cigarette, bringing it to your mouth, going wherever you go to have that smoke break, that whole ritual is a calming ritual. Really doesn't have much to do with the tobacco calming the nervous system. It has more to do with the actual ritual. And so for those people, when they stop smoking, their body needs something else to do to quell that anxiety. Well, this is one of those patterns that is right in the wheelhouse of the cognitive movement system, because at its core, it down-regulates the nervous system. It shows the body how to calm itself. Anxiety is, we think, our natural state now. Everybody has anxiety. Everybody you know has anxiety. And they're either doing something to calm it, like smoking or other addictions or medicine. And they think that's normal, but it isn't normal. This is not the state of the body that is normal or good for the body, the heightened alert. This is intended to get out of the way of the lion that's on your butt. That is what that feeling is about. I'm in trouble. I need to run. The adrenaline gets pumping. The heart gets pumping. The breath gets short. And that is a setup that means run. And the body is set up to run. But we are in this state, you know, 20, 24 hours a day. And of course, the body is looking for a way to calm down. So it reaches for some of these things like cigarettes or other drugs. Or then if you release the cigarette smoking, then it can be food. And then you have the dreaded weight gain. And now we're back to trying to lose weight and losing the weight and getting rid of those habits, only to pick up another habit like cigarette smoking. It becomes a round and round cycle. It's a real pattern, but at the base of it is all the same thing. We forgot to tell the nervous system that the new change is safer than the old one that we were doing. It's really as simple as bringing that system up to date. Now, is it simple? Actually, yes, it is when you have the tools. But it's not simple when you're trying to figure it out without that, because it's not logical. None of it is logical. We were talking about the relationships, this jumping back into a bad relationship, or stop overeating but start drinking, or stop smoking but start overeating. None of that's logical. And as smart people, we absolutely know better. In fact, we would give the advice to someone else to not do those things. But our systems are so driven, they're unconsciously driven. And it really is this part of the body that is built to do this, that is calling the shots. So the simplicity is you need the tool that gets you into that system. You need direct access to the nervous system. It's part of the overall limbic system, which is, you know, they call it our reptilian brain. It is the thing that works on automation. It does the thing without you thinking about it. And so we have to update that automation. We've got to show the system a new way. And that is one of the most amazing things that the cognitive movement system does, is it does show the nervous system itself. It shows the nervous system the resources that it already has. Our bodies can downregulate. We just have to cue them that it's okay to do that now. Our bodies can update to new current settings. We just have to show it what is the safe way to do that. We have to reassure this system that we have that is meant to protect us, that the new thing is actually going to benefit the whole system. It's going to return your energy to yourself. It's going to see brand new perspectives. It's going to see it's going to shine the light on the old stuff that you were doing, so that the system's like, no, we don't want to do that anymore. That wastes energy. It's toxic. It's bad for the body, on and on and on. But in modern psychology, on modern self-help, we don't think about this. We don't think about our system, our body, our biological system being so much like a computer in some ways that we literally need to update its settings. And we do need to update its settings. And when we do, we not only avoid this rebound effect, but what we really do is open ourselves up to more of who we really are. So the future is not a repeat of the past. It is something brand new and miraculous, amazing, and fun. The blinders are off at that point, and you can see the future that you choose without the rebound. All right, we've come to the end of this episode. And if you're loving what you've heard here, or you are heard yourself as one of the people in those stories, and you want to create real change in your life this time, you really want to upgrade the system and become more of yourself, please join us at cognomovement.com/essentials. You can start today. It's actually a very short program. It's about 2.5-3 hours of videos, and you don't watch them all at once. You kind of learn how to do the method, and then right away, you start in doing some sessions, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes to create real and lasting change. We hold your hand the whole way through it. You cannot lose. And you can share this with other people. Once you know it, you can really turn the lights on for somebody else about how to change their system too. All right. I will see you again next week. Hopefully we'll have Bill McKenna back. But until then, be safe and be well.